Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Manchester is Red podcast by the Manchester Evening News. I am your host, Ash Barami, and I am pleased as ever to be joined by Charlotte Dunker.
Hello.
And Tara Marshall.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon indeed. How are we both doing?
Yeah, good. It's a nice sunny day up here in Manchester for once.
It is. It's not really warm, but we'll take the sun.
Actually, the news desk said it's warmer than Rome today.
I find that hard to believe. Have they been outside? It's very windy.
Yeah, but when you're in the office yourself, I'm literally, I'm sweating.
Oh yeah, with our big windows. Yeah, it feels very, very toasty.
Sweat box on the side of the motorway if no one knows where we were.
Makes it sound so appealing.
So, I mean, I think the last time we done a podcast, it was before the midweek game against Wolves. Obviously, United dropped points. They lost going down 2-1 at Molineux. And I think the only positive from since then is the fact that Arsenal also lost as well, Charlotte. We'll obviously move on to Barcelona in a bit, but quickly on the top four, you still see it as an open, it's almost like a 50-50 race now between the four clubs that are in it.
Yeah, I think Solskjaer said he was impressed with the performance that his side put in against Wolves. Personally, I thought they were very good for the opening 20 minutes, and after that it all went pretty quickly downhill, so I'm not sure I'm fully on board with his comments. I can see where he's coming from, but disappointing from their perspective to go there and drop points. I know it's a tough place to go, but given especially they'd lost there, was it 1 week or 2 weeks before that, you would have hoped that they could have learned from what went wrong and gone there and got the 3 points. But like you say, it's the fact that teams like Arsenal, Chelsea, they could slip up. It's not just in United's hands, because obviously if they all win the games to the end of the season, United are going to finish sixth. We've just remembered that they've dropped down to sixth. So it's an exciting end to the season, isn't it?
Exciting end indeed. And Ty, do you still see that as a 50-50 race between all the clubs that are in it now? Or do you think someone has an edge?
Well, I think the teams in third and fourth probably have an edge. And even Chelsea in fifth have an edge. I think United are 2 points back from those now, and maybe 3 points back from Tottenham in third. So, you know, I think you have to say they have an edge. I think it's going to be difficult for United now. Not to say they can't finish in the top four.
United have still got Chelsea to play.
Yeah, they've still got Chelsea to play.
At home and City.
But I think the positives are that Arsenal have a lot of away games, and I think Tottenham also have to play City.
Arsenal have a lot of away games and haven't kept a clean sheet away from home all season, which is ridiculous that they've done that and they're still fourth. How is that even possible? When even Fulham and Huddersfield have kept away clean sheets this season, it just blows my mind that I can't understand it. But they've got away games at very winnable places, you would think, Arsenal.
I just think that people are going to slip up where you wouldn't expect.
There's very few games left, though. Everyone's got six games left. There's not many games left for people to slip up in. United have got to beat Chelsea at home, which they should do, because Chelsea away have been pretty ropey of late. But at the same time, United have got to go to Everton, who have suddenly found form. They've got Man City at home. So they've got some tricky games. I think they're going to need to win at least four of their last six, if not five of their last six, to do it.
I think if you look at the last two games, I think it's Cardiff and is it Huddersfield, I think last two.
Yeah. So it's very winnable.
I think if United are in a space where maybe, even if it is goal difference or maybe a point, that they're surely bankers for United.
Arsenal have got Burnley. Last game of the season, away to Burnley. Mm. They've got Brighton at home, Leicester away, Wolves away. That's going to be a tricky one. Wolves away.
Yeah, Leicester and Wolves.
They're playing Wolves away on the same night as the Manchester Derby. So if Arsenal go to Wolves and get a result and United lose in the Derby, then it could be a deciding factor. Who else? Crystal Palace at home. Watford away is their next game in the league.
I take it back. They have got some tricky away games. I thought their running was easier than that. Leicester, I mean, Watford have probably got their sights set in the FA Cup final now, but they're still pretty decent. Yeah. Leicester are flying under Rodgers. Wolves are going to have something to prove and will need to finish seventh to get into Europe now. So they have got a tricky run in, but at the same time, you know, Arsenal slipped up at Everton at the weekend. United have still got to go there. United have still got to play City at home, which is obviously going to be very difficult.
Yeah.
That Chelsea game is one they should win. Chelsea under Sarri away from home of late have been pretty unpredictable. They should beat West Ham at home. Like you say, their final two are very winnable.
Chelsea have got Liverpool away, Burnley at home, United away, Watford at home, and Leicester away, last game of the season.
There's potential for all of them to...
All draw points, yeah.
...to slip up. The problem is, if they all slip up in two games, it still won't be enough for United. So, United are going to need to finish... I think they need to finish with 4 or 5 wins from the final.
They're going to have to go on... United are going to have to go on like a bit of an unbeaten run and hope that the other teams around them drop points.
Yeah, it's fair to say it's going to go down to the last day to decide that. But it all does seem a bit ironic that we're all talking about Champions League qualification, yet here we are... 48 hours away from Barcelona on Wednesday. Yeah.
Well, they could win it and get them back in it.
Yeah, exactly. United are in a position where they could easily go on to get to the semi-final and final.
They could easily win it then, Ash. I thought you were going out there with the bold claim. United could easily win the Champions League.
I think they've got a chance of going through against Barcelona.
Well, but I suppose they have, but does anyone really believe they're going to win it?
What, the whole thing?
Yeah.
If they get through, if they knock out Barcelona, worst of teams have won it. Then... they've got a chance. I mean,
Liverpool in the semi.
Yeah, Liverpool or Porto. Liverpool have got bigger fish to fry at the moment. Porto will want revenge for last year. You never know. Liverpool take their eye off the ball.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've got Barcelona first. And, you know, the form Barcelona in, the form Messi are in, that's going to be an almighty ask to get through. But it was a big ask against PSG and they did it. And it's interesting that I think we're all sat here and like, oh God, it's Barcelona, the top of the league. They've got Messi and Suarez. They look amazing. I did a piece this morning on the first European tie between the two teams in 83, 84 and spoke to Norman Whiteside. And he said that in Spain right now and in Barcelona, they'll be looking at playing Man United and coming to Old Trafford. And even though United are 6 in the league, they'll be like, flipping heck, it's Old Trafford, it's Man United.
Mm.
So that stature does count for something. Barca won't be coming to United thinking, yeah, they're 6 in the league, they've just lost 3 of the last 4, we'll steam all of these. Yeah. They'll be thinking, bloody hell, it's Old Trafford on a European.
There was a piece like reflecting that. I've been on Barcelona's website this morning and it was like low down on the opposition, and it's basically like, not that you need a low down, like going on about the history between the two clubs, like you said, talking them up. They're not saying, oh yeah, this is going to be a walk in the park because United have lost 3 of the last 4, they've not been great this season, look at their squad. They were even like, oh, there was a list of like the next generation of England's like top talent, which made me laugh because Ashley Young was listed in there, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they've just done a copy and paste job from a few seasons ago, but yeah, if they're tipping him to be the hot new talent for England, I think they've missed the boat on that one. But
I was going to ask, do you think there's more sense of like excitement than there is almost expectation?
Yeah,
I think so. I think there is. I think there's anticipation, excitement. I did an interview with a Spanish film crew this morning and they've been here since Saturday and they said that they'd got the sense of...
I love this name dropping that you're doing. I spoke to Norman Whiteside. I've been on Spanish TV this morning.
Those were my name drops. No offence, Norman, but I need to up my game over the next few weeks.
Tyrone's in big demand, guys.
But they said they've been here since Saturday and just walking around town and speaking to fans, they'd sensed a real sort of anticipation about the game. And I think that's what it is now. I'm not sure... You know, United fans will feel they can win, and rightly so, they can win this tie. But I think it is anticipation and excitement that is the main sort of feeling 2 days out from the game.
Nothing to lose, is there?
No, I think big European nights under the lights at Old Trafford, United fans for so many years, they've been the most exciting, like the one against Barcelona when Paul Scholes scored that screamer to send them through to the final. Like, it's nights like that that United fans will look back on and remember as the greatest nights that have happened at Old Trafford. And there is, I think, everyone will be happy that United have been written off because there is no expectation from the fans being put on the team to go there and win, because I don't think anyone thought they'd be in this position that they'd even get through. After that first leg against PSG, it was like, oh, everyone's just going to go to Paris and have a good night away and it's going to be a good laugh, like a good away day. I don't think anyone went there thinking that they'd do the unthinkable and get through. So just to even have another European night at Old Trafford again this season, I don't... Because I was talking to someone about nerves in games, and someone was saying, do you think City fans would be nervous? And I just, maybe they will be, because there's more expectation on their side, yeah, that they should be getting through and they should be winning all four trophies. Whereas I think if United fans are being realistic, is there any expectation for United to go up against this Barcelona side and win? There isn't. So it's just a good chance to have another good European night. If they get a result, bonus. If they don't, I don't think anyone's really expecting them to do it.
And that could be an advantage, really, couldn't it? I think it was you that wrote a piece that was saying that Barcelona's probably an easier gear fixture.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who the team was, but I think you remember which one it was.
Yeah, it was me that did it. It's kind of the way that Barca's set up, I think, suits how United are playing at the moment better than the likes of Wolves and Watford. It's not to say that they're not a better team than those. They obviously are. But, you know, Barca play a certain way and they play a very high defensive line and try and press you. Whereas United, as we know at the moment, United are primed to play on their counter-attack. Mm-hmm. And you can see why. When Solskjaer came in, that was the easiest thing to do. He had the personnel there. And it's not difficult to set a team up in training to start playing well on the counter-attack. Transitions are, you know, relatively easy to work on. Whereas finding ways to break down deep defences is a little bit trickier. And also United, since Ferguson left, United have been conditioned to play reactive football rather than proactive football. Mm. Under Moyes, Van Gaal and Mourinho, they were all reactive managers. So they've not been a proactive team who were breaking teams down and being creative for a long while. So you can't suddenly expect it to happen like that. So at the moment, their best chance of success is on the counter. They've got the players to play on the counter. And against Barcelona, they'll have the chance to play on the counter. They'll play that high defensive line. Rashford and Martial will see that space between that defensive line and the keeper and think, I'll have some of that. Anyway, if Pogba can find those sort of passes that he was playing to Rashford earlier in Solskjaer's reign, the goal at Tottenham springs to mind, then, you know, they could have some joy against them. Keeping Barcelona out is the trickier thing, but I think the way Barca sets up, United will fancy their chances of causing them some problems and probably find it easier to create opportunities against that style of defence than they would against the Watford or a Wolves.
They need to stick to their game plan as well, because I think there's been so much talk about Messi and this fear that, oh my goodness, Lionel Messi's coming to Old Trafford, how do we stop him? And I don't think that Solskjaer's going to be naive enough to have done a game plan around just stopping Messi, because if that's how they set up, they will get beat, because Messi is not the only threat in that side. And if they solely focus on and get in their minds of, we just have to stop him from scoring, the threat will come in from somewhere else and they'll miss other players that are on the attack for Barca. So I just think, rather than, I'm hoping that he's decided that that's not going to be the plan, they're not just going to try and mark Messi out the game, because as soon as that happens, United will lose the tie. They need to go, they need to play their own game, they need to be solid defensively, but as a unit rather than just trying to stop him.
Yeah. Ty, do you think the Wolves defeat will have any bearing on Solskjaer's squad selection for Barcelona, or do you think it's one of them you have to just write off and move on?
I think it's pretty much one of those you just have to write off. And, you know, he went with three at the back against Wolves. I can't see him doing that against Barcelona. I think it'd be back to a back four. I think he went with three at the back against Wolves because they'd lost with a four at the back two and a half weeks earlier, and he knows that Wolves always play three at the back. So I think he mixed it up with that in mind. I would be surprised if he went three at the back against Barcelona. I think it'll be back to a back four.
It could be a disaster if he starts three at the back.
Yeah, it could be. It's not a system they're used to, and I think pretty much every time they've used it this season, it's been a bit of a catastrophe, and they just don't really
under Mourinho as well, it didn't work.
No, they don't really have the personnel for it. So I think it'll be back to a back four, probably Lindelof and Smalling centrally. And I think, I'm not sure it's wise to play three at the back against Barcelona, because they don't play with a natural two up front. You know, Suarez and Messi and whoever else plays, whether it's Dembele or Coutinho, are great at moving and dropping deep. So I think if you play three centre-backs, you just confuse the issue even more. So I think it'll be back to a back four, and I think probably Lindelof, Smalling, Shaw and Young.
Yeah, and Charlotte, I mean, people talk about, how do you stop Messi, how do you stop Suarez? Should the mindset more be more towards how are United going to get the best out of their attacking players to stop them? Is it just one of the cases of focusing on your own strengths?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. They should go there, like you say, focus on your own strengths. And to be honest, from what you've heard Solskjaer say since he took over, he's tried to say, we want to play attacking football, we want to do this, we want to do that. It's not about what the other team are doing, but he's going to have to tweak that slightly given it is Barcelona and they are an impressive run of form. United aren't at the minute, but you're right, they should play to their own strengths, and like Ty just said, they will be able to get, they'll be able to find the space behind the Barcelona defenders, and the forwards are, they're quick, so get an early goal could be really interesting. But what you were saying about the Wolves game and obviously writing it off, Scott McTominay was actually in my opinion United's man of the match in that game. I don't know who got man of the match in that game.
I love how Ty was just raising his fist. This is like a victory. I remember love that piece, Ty.
McTominay is his nickname from Tyrone on our desk. Mainly ironic, I think, because he thinks I don't like him. But I did a text you saying that words to that effect after he scored.
You did, yes, yeah. you did. It was a mighty fine strike. I thought he was United's best player.
Yeah, even if you take his impressive goal out of it, he was good. Mm. And it's one of them, I think that's going to be one of his biggest decisions. It would be harsh to take him out. Such a big game. Is he going to go with more experience? Is it Matic? Matic hasn't been good in the last few weeks. So
he's put him in, though, for big games before. Like, he started them against...
Yeah, he's got a lot of big game experience for someone who's not actually played that many games. He's played a lot of big games, so he has got the experience.
Not at the same level as experience as Matic, though. And no. It's whether it's...
I would be surprised if the midfield wasn't Matic, Herrera and Pogba. I'd be surprised.
Are you going to go with that as well, Charlotte? Midfield three?
Yeah, I do. But I think that McTominay's but that is, on paper, his strongest midfield three is Matic, Herrera, Pogba. But McTominay's performance last week and given how Matic has been performing in recent weeks, I don't think it's as easy a decision as possibly it would have been a few weeks ago.
McTominay, he played more in a more attacking role against Wolves and played it really well and got into good positions. Probably should have scored again in the second half. And no player on the pitch had more shots than McTominay against Wolves. But I think if you played him against Barcelona, you'd be playing him in a more defensive role. And he's probably got more... He's probably more mobile than Matic these days. So with that sort of whirl of movement from Barca's attackers, Solskjaer might think that's worth a few extra points compared to Matic. But Matic has got the experience, and I think it would be that first choice midfielder. I'd be surprised if it wasn't. I think Matic has been a bit sluggish of late, and he kind of had a similar spell under Mourinho earlier in the season. So I think the fact that Solskjaer took him out
against
Wolves...
That was just before Solskjaer arrived, wasn't it?
It was.
Because there was the whole discussion about why is Mourinho not dropping Matic, because he was so bad. But then the way Solskjaer switched the tactics, he seemed to improve, but he's just had a bit of a dip in recent weeks.
I think the fact he didn't play and didn't come on against Wolves, so he's going to have had now 10 days off or so, 11 days without a game, so he's probably a bit fresher, and you wonder if Solskjaer would be hoping that sort of rest has got him back to the form he was showing earlier in his reign.
Yeah, and finally the fun three, we're both going to opt for pace in attack, or maybe...
Yeah, I'd go Martial and Rashford and then play Lingard slightly behind, in that false nine role that he played against Spurs earlier in the season. That really worked, because then he can drop back and help them in midfield, and that's going to disrupt Barcelona, so
I'll go with that as well. I think Lingard's such an intelligent footballer, he knits it all together for United, and he's a player who can be an extra attacker when needed, or an extra midfielder when needed, as Charlotte said, so he can drop in. He can probably do a good job on Busquets. Busquets is vital to Barcelona in terms of starting attacks. If you played Lingard in kind of that false nine role, I think you could ask him almost when Barca have got the ball deep just to sit on him. Don't let him have it. Disrupt their flow.
Disrupt him, yeah.
And his movement is so clever that he can drag those. He's so good in that false nine role because he can drag defenders out. I think he can drag a centre-half out, and suddenly Rashford and Martial have got room to run into. So yeah, I'd definitely be going with that front three.
Yeah, and no Romelu Lukaku, no... Off the bench.
I think off the bench
maybe.
And that's no criticism of him for the role that he plays. I just think that the other two are quicker than him, as in Martial and Rashford, and Lingard could be the key to breaking Barcelona's fluid attack down. So I just think, unfortunately for him, place on the bench. Maybe we should go and tell Ollie our plans. Hopefully he'll know.
I think he knows. I think we're on the same way.
You could tell him tomorrow in the press conference.
I could do, yeah.
I've got a plan for you, Mr. Solskjaer.
Just,
you
know, 2 minutes, Ollie.
Your team.
And finally, can we get a couple of predictions for you from the first leg? We'll start with you, Ty. Just for the first leg, not the tie as a whole.
I'm going to say 3-2 to United.
Oh, wow.
That's...
5-goal thriller on Wednesday night.
I think there's goals. I think there's goals in this one.
Well, I hope so. It'll make for an entertaining spectacle, won't it?
I don't think United will lose the first leg.
I'm going...
I can't see it.
1-1 draw. All to do in the second leg.
It's been done before.
Yeah.
It has, very recently.
Yeah.
But I don't think, as much as impressive as that PSG win was, and as much of a...
You know, we've heard rumours you're away for the Champions League final.
I am on holiday. I booked it off.
Oh, here we go.
But I could easily unbook it. Put it that way. I'm not going anywhere.
You're going on holiday to Madrid by any chance?
No, holiday with Astrid.
With a heavily pregnant wife. It's fair to say I won't be going away anywhere that week. So I can easily unbook holiday if required.
The miracle happens.
Indeed, yes. If the miracle happens, I could be there if required.
We'll see if United get there. We'll see on Wednesday night what happens. So thank you, Ty. Thank you, Charlotte, for joining us. We'll see what happens, obviously, Wednesday night. So if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the podcast via Acast or Apple Podcasts. And we will see you probably after the Barca game on Wednesday.